Entertainer Richard Skipper is here to talk about everything Carol Channing and also give us his spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Richard.
Hi there. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful.
What was your inspiration in channeling Carol Channing in your off-Broadway tribute?
Well, interestingly enough, it pursued me. I have to be very honest with you. I am not a huge fan of drag. And the reason that I'm not a big fan of drag is because I find that most drag performers, I'm not saying all, but most drag performers are either making fun of their audiences, they are self-deprecating, or they're making fun of women. And that's not who and what I'm all about. So for many, many years, I could mimic Carol's voice, and I would do so at parties and different events like that. And for years, people pursued me saying, you should put together a show about Carol. And I would only do it if I had her full cooperation on this. So luckily for me, at the very beginning of my career, now we're going back to like 1994 as far as the Carol Channing department in my career, and I got the opportunity to perform the show for Carol. And I went in with the attitude that if she didn't like what I was doing, that I would never do it again. I honestly did not have that much invested in the show at that time. It really didn't matter to me whether or not I had a career performing as Carol Channing. And so when I went in and she loved the show, she said, and it was a quote that I used for a very long time, and I have it framed on my wall here, she said that it was the first time that she had been shown with love and respect and polish. Let's face it, Carol Channing is one of those icons that has been overly impersonated, just as Elvis Presley and Cher and Bette Midler and Betty Davis have all been impersonated. But she said it was the first time it was done with respect to her, and that was always the mode that I went after. It was always done with the utmost respect for her legacy, for her body of work. I call it celebrating a person's body of worth. And I tried to the best of my ability. I am not Carol Channing. I never will be Carol Channing. But I tried to go out and present Carol the way that I saw her on stage.
I caught Dori Berenstein's documentary, Carol Channing, Larger Than Life, currently showing on Showtime On Demand, that you appeared in. What was that like, and how'd that come about?
Well, I guess about a year before I even filmed with Dori, I got a phone call from Carol Channing's publicist, Harlan Bowl, who he's more than a publicist. He is a friend of all of these incredible people that are part of his roster. And I met Harlan through Carol, actually, several years ago, and he called me to tell me that there was going to be a documentary in the works on Carol Channing's life and career. If I'm not mistaken, when the documentary started, it was supposed to be a celebration of the work that her and Harry, who unfortunately just passed away, have done for their Foundation for the Arts. And I have been very involved with Carol Channing and her Foundation for the Arts over the past few years. So Dori came to my home and spent an entire day talking about Carol Channing. My office is a shrine to Carol. And unfortunately, because of time constraints, a lot of the material that we talked about and was covered that day did not end up in the final film. But I'm very proud of the film. I'm proud to be a part of it. I don't know if you know this, but I have closed the door on that part of my career. And so, to me, it was the perfect cap for me in terms of what I've done. So I'm very proud of my involvement with the film.
What are you working on now?
Well, I'm writing a book on the history of Hello, Dolly. On January 16th of 2014, it will be the 50th anniversary of Hello, Dolly opening on Broadway. And when I sat down to start this project, I wanted to write a book celebrating all the women who played Dolly, not only on Broadway, but around the world, and productions of Dolly. There's so many actresses that have played Dolly that people are surprised to find out that they've done this. So I wanted to write a book celebrating all of these women and what they brought to the table. But as I started my process, my first interview was in January in Palm Springs with a wonderful lady by the name of Roberta Olden, who was Ginger Rogers' personal assistant. And she opened her home to me and had Ginger's records and Ginger's mother's diary of the account of the opening night and the closing night with Ginger. And as these interviews, I've conducted over 50, and I decided to really focus on the people that were there. I mean, when you think about Hello, Dolly opening in 1964, it opened shortly after the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Throughout the course of the show from 1964 to 1970, we would lose two other leaders with Dr. Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. The Vietnam War was going on. There was major upheaval with gay rights movement and the feminist movement and the Vietnam War going on. And as a matter of fact, Mary Martin took the show to Vietnam, and it was the first time that a Broadway show had ever been performed in a war zone. And on top of everything else, the same week that Hello, Dolly opened, the Beatles arrived in America. So the cultural landscape was changing. And yet this show, which epitomized optimism and hope and believing, I mean, the whole message of Hello, Dolly is to live life to the fullest. Don't let the parade pass you by. And that message was very important then, and I think that especially our world has changed so much since 9/11, and there's so much hardship. I think that our culture celebrates the weaknesses and the worst in humanity, and I want to celebrate something a little bit more uplifting and something that people can go out humming and singing the songs, and I want to celebrate these people who a lot of people have never heard of, chorus members, people who had featured roles in the show, not only on Broadway, but in productions around the world and the country.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
You know, it's very interesting. I am in a committed relationship. My partner and I have been together 23 years. I was a late bloomer. I did not realize that I was a gay man until I was 21. That may be hard to believe. But I was that kid that was bullied in school, and I was called all kinds of names, as you can imagine, by other kids. And I didn't know anything about my own sexuality. And yet people were putting a label on who and what I was all about before I was even able to access myself and what labels I wanted to put on myself. And so for that reason, you know, I really believe in supporting one another because I lead a very full life. And I have a wonderful life, but I work at that life. I don't have time to think about what other people are doing in the privacy of their own homes. I don't have time to think about what my neighbors are doing. I don't point fingers at other people. And I feel that it's very, very important, especially here in New York. My partner and I got married after 23 years. And I am hearing stories over and over and over of couples that are in committed relationships to find one of them after 25, 30, 40, 50 years, one of the partners getting ill and the other partner being denied the right to be at their bedside in the hospital room, or having to fight estate issues when two men or two women have set up a life together. And I know there's some people out there who say, well, that piece of paper doesn't make a marriage. Well, that piece of paper doesn't make a marriage, but it defines and legalizes the fact that two people have committed their lives to one another. And for that very reason, I have jumped on that bandwagon. And to me, it's not a personal issue anymore as much as it's a federal issue. It needs to be across the board that every single person in this country has equal rights. And that's where I am on that issue.
What was your reaction to President Obama and the Democratic platform finally coming out in support of marriage equality?
I was very excited. I was not one of those people to say, it's about time. Everything, I mean, the coming out process, I don't even know if there really was a coming out process for myself. But timing is everything. And I have to know what is the right timing in order for the things that I have done in my life. I knew when it was time for me to admit to the world that I was a gay man. I knew when it was time for me to begin a relationship with my partner. I knew when it was time for us to get married. Those are personal issues, and I don't think need to be defined by anyone else. And I think as far as leaders and politicians and entertainers and other people, being open about who and what they are and what their beliefs are is a process. And I think that we all need to be respectful of where other people are. It's very difficult for us to walk in the shoes of another person. And I am just proud that he made that decision. I sat there as so many of my gay brothers and sisters and my straight brothers and sisters who sat there and cried at this historic moment with our president. And I feel that I'm really looking forward to the day, and hopefully it's going to happen in my lifetime, where it's a non-issue.
You mentioned being bullied as a teen. You know, LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
Well, you know, the campaign, It Gets Better, is absolutely true. I have a wonderful life. There were moments where I felt, how could I go on as a kid? I never thought about suicide because my dreams and my goals and my aspirations were all huge. And I think that if kids do have something to believe in and hold on to, that it makes it a lot easier as far as navigating those waters of how we get and go through life. I think that it's very important for our adults to start acting like adults. When you look at the landscape of what we have on television, bullying doesn't just happen on the playground. Bullying is happening on reality shows. When you have adults name-calling and attacking each other, it happens when you've got political pundits on news programs attacking each other. Those are the role models that our kids have now. Those are not the role models that I had growing up. I mean, as a kid, when I was bullied and I was beaten up, my dad, like most dads of his generation, would say, you've got to learn to fight back. Well, the bottom line, Charlotte, is I am not a fighter. That's not who and what I'm about. And so I think the adults need to start acting like adults and stop attacking each other. Then our kids will realize that that's not an acceptable behavior either.
How can people get information about your projects?
Well, there are various ways. Number one, I write a blog called Richard Skipper Celebrates. I write about people in the arts and the contributions that they have made to our culture and our society. All they need to do is do a Google search for Richard Skipper Celebrates, and that will come up. I also have a website, richardskipper.com. And I have this Dolly website, callondolly.com. And with each of the interviews that I've done, those interviews are posted on that website in anticipation of a book so that people are able to read and see the progress as it happens.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
A question, that's very interesting that you asked that question, because with each of my blogs, I always ask each person that I interview what question I should ask the next person that I interview. So I would say that the question that I would ask people to ask me is, what keeps you going? And what keeps me going is hope and belief in something better. And as I can't stress enough, I have a wonderful life, but I always believe that something could be better, and I believe that I have a responsibility to make it so.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
I certainly do, and I'm glad you asked. My personal philosophy is, if I've offended one person, I've offended one person too many.